Oh, check it out, Brian. Wore this just for the
Hey, look at
podcast. Terry Davis. Gotta
Temple OS.
watch out for the glowies.
They're everywhere.
Hello, my friends.
Thank you for joining us for the PEBCAC podcast. We'll be the information security show featuring some all-around good people. It is week 11 of 2024. I'm Chris Louie, and still fighting a bit of the cold. With me, I have my co-host, the Hot Dad, who played a great host to us last week.
You're still fighting that cold because all the alcohol that you drank at the cybersecurity summit compromised your immune system, is my belief.
It's the opposite. Remember what Glenn said? It's the Tito's that fights the virus.
You're not
it's
Glenn.
Probably because I didn't drink enough to kill whatever was in my system.
And we have to actually rename the Cybersecurity Summit to the LAME Summit. And LAME stands for Lazy Adventure with Minimal Energy. We were in bed every night by, I think, 9 o'clock, calling our wives at 8. Like, what the hell?
It's that dad life.
It was a good trip. Yeah, it is that dad life. It was a good trip. Good seeing you guys.
Yeah, I think the highlight wasn't the shirts. It was getting to the restaurant and seeing the restaurant manager's face as we realized that the special request was honored. And so, Steve, you weren't there. And so we get there. They're like, yeah, look at the table. And I look, and then, boom, I had put in a special request for a printed out picture of Nicolas Cage. And he got the one of Nicolas Cage as Superman. And he even had it laminated for us. So it was pretty wild.
Yeah, definitely went all out for that.
I like it. Have you seen those ads that you can get like your face printed on socks or like a t-shirt, and it's just like your constant face all up and down the socks? I feel like I should get a pair and just wear them around with each of your faces on it and just mismatch them.
I wouldn't like it because then anytime I put socks on, because my feet are so big, we just stretch it out. Like, there's Fat Brian. Now we know what he looks like.
Stretch
face
out
is
face.
Pulled apart. Yeah.
Do it. Got to collect them all.
Yep.
And we do not have Glenn this week, or should we call him No Show Glenn or
No Show.
NSG? He is traveling, and we just could not get our schedules aligned this week. Our guest this week, though, is Stephen Hashney. Stephen works with us with a focus in the healthcare space. When he's not selling security to healthcare, you can find him beating people mercilessly on the mat. Stephen, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like the discount version of Kobe Caputo, the world-renowned MVP that you guys had a couple weeks back. As Chris said, I'm focused on healthcare as a principal engineer over at Zscaler, but I've been in healthcare now like 7, 8 years, doing mainly EUC, so VDI, MDM, all of that good stuff, getting people to their applications. I do choke people out on the mats. I love smothering people. I am a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu under a 6-degree black belt named Alexi Cruz. If you know folks like Anderson Silva, Lyoto Machida, those are folks who have trained with Alexi back in Brazil when he was down there. And I've competed around 20-ish times over the course of like 10 years. No golds yet. I've only actually gotten silver, but I'm also passionate about raising awareness around kind of the mental health stigma too. And I've written a short memoir that's out there on Amazon that I donate all the proceeds to charity.
And you're like,
that's awesome.
Way cooler than I'll ever be. So if if your RSM's
a
like
published
hey,
author.
Yeah, go get the PO. Did you just submit people until you get the signature? Is that what happens?
It's actually how I handle most of the healthcare stuff, right? They're like, look, we're going to meet on site. And I'm like, cool, I'm rolling in with shorts and some spandex, and we're going to get the PO, whether you like it or not that day.
I'm glad that you do the mental health stuff, though, because that's, especially with dudes, that's something we just don't talk about.
Yeah, there's a cool charity called Submit the Stigma, actually, that's focused on Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu mainly. And the person who runs that charity has some kind of dark background in why she got into it. But as soon as I found out, I was like, yeah, this is definitely made for me, given my background and my love for Jiu-Jitsu.
That's awesome. I'll link through to them in the show notes, so to the charity and your book. So people want to donate, they can.
We always joke about becoming a published author, and we never do it.
Listen, yeah. Amazon makes it way too easy to publish whatever. So
I just thought that'd be funny that if we're like in a technical competitive situation, you just get the SEs from each of the competitors and throw them in the octagon, like Mad Max style, you know, two men enter, one man exits, and we just do like trial by combat and whoever wins gets the PO.
Now let's do the exact same thing, but with presidents instead of throwing our guys in war. The U.S. get their ass kicked at this point. Maybe not a good idea.
Combined, we have decades of information theory experience and are here not just to educate, but to entertain. We've got four awesome stories for this week, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. This week, we're going to talk about drugs in FTX Blast from the Past. For our third topic, we'll cover typo squatting as a service and close with expensive item talk. For our first topic, this will be our ransomware story of the week. Ransomware attacks on healthcare over the last few months have been relentless, with numerous ransomware operations targeting hospitals and medical services, causing disruption to patient care and most recently access to prescription drugs here in the U.S. The most impactful attack of 2024 so far is the attack on United Health Group subsidiary Change Healthcare, which disrupted pharmacies across the U.S. and is believed to be attributed to the AlphaV ransomware as a service provider. Well, breaking news regarding that hack, it appears that Change Healthcare paid a $22 million ransom payment to get their data back and to stop their data from being published online. In a stunning turn of events, AlphaV has exit scammed their affiliates and taken the whole $22 million ransom without paying the affiliate. They posted a fake FBI takedown notice on their homepage and transferred the $22 million into their own personal Bitcoin wallet. Yeah. We had Kobe on a few weeks ago talking about attacks in healthcare, so let's get Steven's perspective on Change Healthcare and why healthcare is such a magnet for ransomware attacks.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's security through obscurity has always been the healthcare mantra. So when I think about when I was growing up and wanting to be a black hat hacker and reading all the forums and trying to be like a script kiddie, looking up Trojans and how to make one and all the other stuff, like the big thing in the forums was, hey, you don't target healthcare because, you know, that could be somebody's dad or mom or child or what have you that could
It was always off limits. I mean, even ransomware groups had rules about don't hit healthcare. Well, I mean, in the middle of the pandemic, they said they had rules against that, but it seems like all bets are off now.
For sure. And that's kind of, I think, what we've seen a lot of. And what I think I'm seeing more and more is not so much like the providers are getting hit with ransomware, but I'm seeing the path of least resistance, we'll call it, which is those third parties. Like, there's so much that goes into somebody going to the doctor. Take Change, for example, right? Change isn't somebody you probably would have heard of until recently, but they're just responsible for getting payments back to the doctors. Like, that's what they do. So they're a subsidiary of United Health Group, who's a large insurance payer, but all their small portion is like, hey, we give you money back after you submit a claim. And I think that's where we're seeing a lot of these attacks start to happen, right? Let's not go after the providers, but let's go after who they integrate with to get to the providers.
Yeah, it's not we're going to turn off your ventilator. We're not going to hack the hospital and do that. But we're going to hack the billing system that's used to bill that ventilator to somebody's.
Exactly.
I mean, healthcare should be free, right?
Yeah. Well, and so that's a that's a funny thing, though, right? Because like the free healthcare stuff, I mean, when you think about this, what we started seeing for news reports around this was hospitals were like, hey, we have to furlough people because we can't afford to pay them because we can't get the insurance to pay us because we can't submit a claim, or like drug prices.
Can't even make payroll.
Yeah.
They're not getting the money. Yeah.
Drug prices are the same thing. It's like you would go to the pharmacy and they'd go, oh, sorry, we can't submit the claim on your behalf. So please give us $1,000 because you no longer have insurance technically until we can kind of like back bill them. So it is it's an interesting world we're living in right now around that.
I do think that the ransomware is just kind of a little artifact right? They're getting in somehow first, and then they're doing the ransom. But I think why are they a giant target? Well, it's simple. They just paid $22 million. Now everybody's on notice. If you're in the space, they're coming after you because they're going to assume you're going to pay.
Yep.
Either that people in that space or even change if they don't have change healthcare, if they don't patch however they get in it, they don't figure it out. They know that they're going to paint an even bigger target on their back.
I just love that Alf V said, man, it's a lot of money. How about we just scam our affiliates as well? Like go for the old twofer.
That's, and some of the commentary around it, it was, are you really surprised they exit scammed you? Because Alf V used to be Black Cat, and Black Cat did the exact same thing as the last year or a few months ago. They exit scammed their affiliates, rebranded themselves as Alf V, and then they just did it again.
It's so popular. Like, that's why you had so many of those, like, break-off groups from, like, Anonymous back in the day. There was, like, suddenly 1,000 different Anonymouses because it was super easy just to go, hey, yeah, we're a new group. You've never heard of us before. We actually just, like, were born yesterday, and now we're hacking, and now we're going to try to scam other people. So I'm waiting for the GoFundMe for their legal bills to show up. Like, that's going to be the cherry on top. Like, sorry, guys, we got shut down by the FBI. Please GoFundMe and give us money for legal bills. We promise that $22 million is not going anywhere.
And they'll just come back with a different name, like Elf W.
Yeah.
Elf different Z thing coming soon.
Yeah. Anyway, that's too close to Z Scar. I don't know about that.
Yeah, we've definitely been seeing more attacks in healthcare. They're no longer off limits, and I think it was Germany or Romania that some chain of hospitals got attacked, and they were actually had to turn people away and say we can't take anybody because all our systems are down and we're back to the Stone Age. Everything's paper and pencil now.
I say it's kind of BS. Like we can't provide healthcare because our network is down. Like, no, you still can, right? I have a gunshot wound. I don't need a computer.
No, we have in the States, I think in like North Carolina, South Carolina, within the last year that they had to turn people away, the ambulances away because they got breached. And like I said, I mean, a lot of the software, and we saw it during the pandemic, is coded in such an old language that it's just not efficient and definitely does not have, you know, the best security. And I know for at least Maine, the unemployment system went down several times during the pandemic because it was like coded in like COBOL. And looking at some of the big providers and the EHR vendors, the EHR vendors have always, like, they've been private companies. So all their documentation, all of their stuff is all paywalled, and you have to be a customer in order to see any of it. And I think that then kind of leads to that security behind obscurity, because you never get to see what is actually going on under the covers unless you are paying millions of dollars to these EHR vendors to be able to get access.
I wonder if this is like a Y2K or a Space Cowboys situation where the software is so old, we have to call all these people out of retirement that literally wrote the code for it because no one knows how the heck this thing works anymore.
I mean, there's a couple, I won't name names. There's a couple of vendors that I can think of that, I mean, it's still a terminal screen. Like, it's like literally a green screen that you log into and that's all it is.
A Commodore 64.
Yeah, it's wild. Wild. And like, hey, yeah, we'd love to be able to modernize this. I'm like, well, like, can we get to like the 90s maybe first? Like, how does this work?
Yeah, let's at least upgrade to Windows 98 and then we'll talk. That reminds me when we're talking about obsolete operating systems. There's this bank, I think it was like the largest bank in China, and the hackers got in, ransomware a couple systems, but their main trading systems is so old, it still runs Novell, and they said the ransomware doesn't work on software that old, so that's the only thing that saved them is because they use such an old operating system.
I believe it. I come from fintech, actually. Like, my formal background when I was a customer was for a credit union service provider, and we used to work on, like, the ATMs and stuff like that, and all the ATMs were running, like, Windows XP, and we had one server for whatever reason that did graphic design that had to run on Windows like 98. And we said, can we upgrade it? Like, the software doesn't even exist anymore. We can't upgrade it. And I'm like, so what do we do? And they're like, we just have a crossover cable that goes to another machine and or a pass-through cable, and that's all we do is we just connect just directly to it. I'm like, that doesn't sound good, though. Like, what's our long-term strategy if that server, like, blows up and catches on fire?
Yeah. We'll figure it out. We'll buy a replacement on eBay. We'll buy it from Huxley. I'm sure he has a spare in his garage somewhere.
Oh, man. Well, I'm sure, you know, it's the same thing in healthcare, right? You got these multi-million dollar MRI machines running Windows 95.
Oh, man. Yeah,
it's one of those if it's...
My brother-in-law just brought me up a story about this. My brother-in-law's, he was a radiologist technician, and now he's like an analyst. So all they do is support the radiology applications. And he's like, hey, I have a funny story for you. And I'm like, oh, yeah, what's that? He's like, you work in cybersecurity, right? I'm like, yep, sure do. And he's like, so I had somebody get the MRI machine infected because they decided for whatever reason they wanted to start surfing Facebook and downloading and clicking on random links while somebody was like in the MRI machine. I'm like, what is going on at your hospital that's a thing that you need to be worried about? And he's like, yeah, so now we have a security incident and we have to figure out what's going on. I'm like, great. Like, you guys want to buy Zscaler yet? Like, how does that work? So,
sounds like they need some content filtering.
Yeah.
He's like, no. Yeah, it's in our InfoSec policy. It says that healthcare is bypassed by bad guys. They don't actually pick on us.
I'm actually surprised that MRI machine has a modern browser that would support TLS that allows them to connect to Facebook.
Yeah, I don't understand it. It's like the things that should be secure aren't secure. And the things that you're like, there's no way that would ever work are the things that are also like happening in the world. Like, why do you have somebody in an MRI machine doing an MRI? And you're like, you know what? I wonder if that cute cat video is still up there today.
Yeah.
You know,
never underestimate the stupidity of the user.
Yeah. Speaking of Facebook, they had that outage this week. And I was reading online that like 500,000 people actually, like, I guess were, you know, formally complaining, right, about the outage. And that sounds like a lot of people, right? Like 500,000. It probably was more that got impacted. But when you look at it, they have 3.19 billion users, and I know stereotypes are terrible, but Chris, help me out with the math, because customer success architects are really good at math, right? So that means of the 500,000 people that, you know, kind of complain, when you're comparing that to 3 billion, that's like 0.0161% of their user base was only impacted. Like, that's insane. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you think 500,000 people, that's a lot. And then you're like, wait a second, that's not even 1% of their entire install, you know, user base, which is kind of wild. And why were you laughing before I got to my punchline, by the way?
To write a complaint, Brian. Just because somebody was annoyed that they got logged out or couldn't log in, or it was grandma. Like, they don't file a complaint. I'm sure that there were a lot of boomers that were sad that they couldn't get to their Facebook page that day.
And some millennials, like my wife, who called me because she was getting her hair done. She's like, hey, I just want to know, can you get to Facebook by chance? And I'm like, I'm working. Like, what do you, I'm not, like, what do you mean? And so, of course, I'm like, I log in on my phone or whatever. And it's like, no, it asked me to log. She's like, that's really weird. I wonder what's going on. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's down. Like, I just like immediately put my phone back down, locked it, like went back to what I was doing. I was like, I don't know. And then I saw that it was LinkedIn also went down as well this week. So it was like, yeah, LinkedIn and Facebook. Like, all we just need is X or Twitter or whatever we're calling it now, the trifecta, to all go down at once.
I just love that
someone was posting in our...
Go ahead.
Someone was posting in our company Slack that they said, oh, yeah, and this is early in the morning, our time. And someone says, oh, yeah, literally everybody in India just got logged out of Facebook. Is this some kind of cyber attack? And then someone also brought up, you know, we have LinkedIn going down, we have Facebook going down. Like, is this you know, pre-positioning by some nation state? And then the commentary around that was like, no, it's just really hard to run very large platforms and not have any downtime.
This is good though for like jujitsu people, right? Because like, if this keeps going down, then people can't argue online anymore, which means my gym memberships will go up. And then I'll just have more people to choke out. It'll be great.
people have to settle it in the on the mat.
Exactly.
The old fashioned way.
Yeah. Just we have to be how it's gonna go down.
All right. For our second topic, we now have an update about what happened to that $400 million in crypto that went missing as FTX was collapsing back in November 2022. Three Americans were arrested last month in connection to a SIM swapping scam that led to that $400 million heist. As FTX CEO Sam Bankman-Fried was being arrested and the company was put into receivership, the remaining skeleton staff noticed that their cryptocurrency was being stolen. They just saw all these random transactions leaving their wallets.
Did you purposely call him Sam Bankman-Fried?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the joke.
Very clever. Very clever. I like that.
The thieves got about $477 million worth of crypto before the FTX staff transferred the remaining funds into new wallets to keep them safe from hackers. While the three people arrested were based here in the U.S., there are definite ties to organized crime in Russia, as the trio laundered the Bitcoin using methods consistent with Russian crime gangs.
You know, we call it the American dream or the American scheme. Right? Like these people are just looking for easy money. Jeez.
I just want to know why.
I remember when we were reporting on it.
Go ahead, Chris.
When we were reporting on it, we said there's this FTX is collapsing, $400 million just went missing. We thought that it was either some insider like Sam Bankman-Fried just trying to bail himself out or get a legal defense fund going or something. It was somebody like an inside job or the other commentary was these people were in their systems, and as they saw the company collapsing, like, oh crap, we need to get the money out now because it's not going to be there tomorrow. And that seems like the latter is the true case.
So does this mean that they're going to get the money back, or they just arrested them and they'll probably threaten them or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know if they actually seized it. I don't know how much money they got back, but at least they figured it out. So they figured out the whodunit part, and then getting the money back might be more of a challenge. Is it going to be in like somebody's coffee can in the basement, or is it in this exchange in Russia that we're never going to see it again?
So what I'm hearing is if you ever break into Chris Louie's house, just know, number one, the door will be barricaded with a bed, and two, the money's always in the coffee can.
I don't know how you get it back though, right? Like if it's like that's the whole point of crypto is that it's not just out there in the world. So like what do you do?
It's more I think for sanctions and tagging the wallets that all the legitimate exchanges have to honor those sanctions. So if they ever try to cash out through Binance or Coinbase or any of those, they're not going to be able to. But if it's stuck in, you know, Vladimir's Tumblr over in Russia, then they're not going to honor any kind of court order.
Can you imagine?
They probably use it as like a bargaining chip to get out, though. You know what I mean? Like, I know you got us, but we got 477 million reasons why you should lighten our sentence.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was a case like that. I remember it was some kind of fraud case like that, and they couldn't figure out where the money was, and the judge made him a deal that says, all right, you get 30 years, but for every $20 million that you recover, I'll knock off a year. It was some kind of deal like that. It gives them an incentive to cough up the cash, and it, in theory, should make the victims whole, too.
I'd be singing like a canary. I ain't going to that prison as outlined in Office Space, if you know what I'm saying. Federal. Never mind. We'll leave it at that.
There's some calculus to that, though, because if the judge says, I'll knock off a year for every $20 million you give me, but if you can get that, it's like, is it worth it? Should I serve the time? And then when I get out, I'll have $100 million that I have access to. I'm going to retire in Moldova or some non-extradition country, and I'm going to be rich.
I always look at it the same way. How I should have gotten into Bitcoin. I should have gotten into all these things like ahead of time when I see like how crazy the amount of money people have made off of crypto. and even like this type of stuff, right? Like this idea of somebody stealing $400 million and just like this weird currency that doesn't have value but has value that like I don't know.
Who knows? Magic internet money.
Yeah, it's like that guy who like lost his hard drive way back when like Bitcoin became a thing and it was like in a dump somewhere and he was trying to like find it, had like millions of dollars on it. Like it's like losing a lottery ticket, I guess, at that point that was a winner, that you know was a winner.
Yeah, with the huge rise in crypto, because yeah, it used to be worth pennies. I remember the first time I ever heard the word Bitcoin, I looked into it. I would say probably like 2013. I think it was probably worth about $30. Yeah. But there were people that got it, like, you know, the Bitcoin pizza guy. It was worth like, you know, pennies. And then there's all these people out there that that same story. You know, I mine Bitcoin as a hobby. I put it on a hard drive. I have no idea where it went. Some people in our company, actually, when I posted a story about that, they said, oh, that brought back PTSD because the exact same thing happened to them. They had a whole bunch of Bitcoin, was worth nothing, formatted the computer, tossed the hard drive, and then now it would be worth millions if they still had it.
So real quick, so if I had a digital wallet on my computer and I format it, it's gone forever. Does that mean that crypto is now gone forever? Like it can't be remined. It's just gone, right?
That's correct. Cause your wallet file is the private key. So it'd be like trying to brute force a private key, which is in theory supposed to be impossible with today's compute.
Did you see that a bunch of people sold off at 69,420?
Yeah.
It really did.
That's the meme. Yeah. That's what I was actually saying. When people tell me, when are you going to sell? I'm like, I will sell when one Bitcoin equals the price of a Tesla Model S, which Elon did make at 69,420 years ago when he accepted Bitcoin, but that's not the case anymore. They're way more now.
Did you sell one at least or no?
No. Okay. No, I'm hodling. Diamond hands.
Diamond hands. I like this stonk. Yeah, I know how it goes.
Yeah.
At this point in time, it's just lotion hands because you haven't done anything with it. So it's fake internet money until then.
Could go to zero. You're absolutely right, Brian.
Yeah. I think Robert Kawasaki, the guy that wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I think he's like, his prediction is
100K by June, I think. It's going there. Cool. If he keeps on this trajectory, he's going to be right. Everybody laughed at him, but he could be right. We'll see.
Let's hope he's right.
Yeah, John McAfee predicted it would go to 1 million, then he reached the 2 million, but he's no longer alive, so he's...
Oh, his Bitcoin's missing then too, right?
Yeah.
It's in a coffee tin somewhere.
He's allegedly dead. He could be hanging out with Tupac for all we know.
I say, Tupac and Elvis, here he comes.
Yeah, the king.
It's crazy. I watched a documentary recently, I think it was on like CNBC, on the plane on the way back from LA. And there was a bunch of, it was all about like Gen Z, which is younger than my generation, thankfully. But it was all about like how they made quick money and like the impulse control. And there was somebody in there who was like, I'm 18 years old. I graduated high school as a millionaire because he got lucky with like crypto and just all the random like altcoins that they call them and just kind of pumping them up and selling them. And he's like, and you can follow me on TikTok for financial advice. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to do that, actually. I think I'll keep with what I'm doing and hope for the best, but congratulations. And he's like driving around in a Lambo in like some paid off like condo in Florida. And I'm like, good for you. But it's also very like, they had other stories about like the other end of that, right? Like, oh, I invested my life savings and my grandmother's inheritance into this thing and now I have no money. And I'm like,
lost it all.
Such a wild world.
Rags to riches and then riches to rags.
I am indeed on TikTok. I post jiu-jitsu videos on there as well. So you too can see me choking people out. So,
all right, share your screen on your phone. Let's go through your feed and see what you've been looking at.
Oh, man.
The algorithm. I tried that challenge. Yeah, I think of all the social media companies, I've heard that TikTok is the most dialed into to suck you. I think that's what you said too, Brian, when the short brief moment you had it on your phone, that they were the most dialed in on their algorithm.
Very well, yep.
Yeah, I need like a separate device to, if I ever go on that app, it's not going on my main phone for sure. It's going to be on like a separate device on a separate VLAN, just air gapped from everything else.
You mean your company phone? Right.
The company. I'm sure
God forbid.
Your company MDM enrolled phone? Yes. That's where I'm going to have my TikTok on.
All right, for our third topic, a company called Global Block is offering typo squatting as a service. More accurately, they prevent typo squatting attacks for a fee. When a company sets up a website, they usually buy the .com domain, maybe the .org and the .net domains too, but with the explosion of approved top-level domains, it can get quite expensive to reserve all those domains. Now, when you add off by one or fat figure domains like google.com with one O, and those registration fees can get really out of hand. Global Block works with the top domain registrars to protect your brand without having to actually register all those domains. A basic service starts at about $6,000 a year, and that blocks about 600 domains. Or for their $9,000 premium service, you can block tens of thousands of domains. And these includes the sound-alikes, the off-by-ones, the fat fingers. There's also homoglyphs or so-called puny code attacks using Cyrillic letters. And this is targeted towards companies to protect their brand and not have people register domains that are lookalikes.
So are they blocking it, or are they just buying up all the domains that can look similar?
It's blocking. So they're not actually registered, but the registrars will honor this list and not allow your average Joe to register that domain if it's a lookalike domain.
That's BS. If you're going to block me from buying it, then you should own it. Otherwise, then I'm entitled to that. I don't like that.
I was thinking the same thing. When I saw this, I was like, it's weird that I don't, like, they don't own it. They just can be like, you know what? Screw off. Like, you don't own it anymore.
Yeah, it's like they just maintain a block list because, like, is it IANA? It's either ICANN or IANA, one of the global registrars that oversees all this. Like, there is a documented dispute resolution process that if somebody buys, you know, Facebook with one O in it, like, Facebook can lodge a complaint and says, this is too close, this is going to harm people, and then they have the right to seize that domain and take it down. But this is just doing it at scale.
So if I want to open up Bookface, then they're like, nope, it's too close. Can't have that for all my dyslexic brothers that are out there.
Yeah.
That sucks. You know, how long until we're on a call and we're like, yeah, in case, you know, your user fat fingers, you know, URL, we'll be there to block it. And they're like, you can't fat shame our fingers anymore. That's derogatory.
need a wand, a typing wand.
Yeah. But I have a feeling that will be a thing. Yet another thing that we can't say.
Yeah. Mistype. What's it going to be? Double type?
Yeah.
Mistype.
I went into, Jesus, I think it was Switch data center up in Vegas. I think Switch is up there. And I walk in, and there are two of the arguably biggest Samoan guys I've ever seen in my entire life. In full battle fatigues, back behind a bulletproof screen or glass, and, you know, and they have like AR-15s on the walls, they're, you know, holding on the side, and they're like, you know, the most unfriendly characters I've ever seen. And they're like, you know, license before you come in. So I hand them the license, and I just sat there watching them trying to mash their giant fingers into this keyboard. I felt so bad for them, because every time they hit the keyboard, like backspace, like the backspace, like, key was blank. Like, they had hit it so many times. I'm like, if there's someone that needs a specialized keyboard, it was these people. And we won't call them Fat Finger. We'll call them Big Boned or something. I have no idea. But Jesus. And it was painful to sit there. It must have taken them 5 minutes to type in Brian Deitch and all my corresponding information. So if you're looking to, you know, exploit me, I guess just go after Switch. They have all my information.
Well, it's a sad state of affairs when we protect our data centers more than we protect our nuclear power plants here in Cary, California.
Is there something going on that I don't know about in the power plants that I missed in the news?
No, no. It's just I used to live near a power plant, and I don't think security was as tight as the Switch data center.
Oh, okay. That explains why you're so goofy in real life.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was funny. Living near the power plant, they would have to, every other year, they would mail out these iodine tablets to all the residents because they said, if there's ever a nuclear accident, take this and hopefully it won't irradiate you.
That sounds terrible. Knowing that the Fallout show is coming soon, like, I have no interest in living near a nuclear power plant by any means.
Yeah, typo squatting is a problem. I know that a lot of content filtering will add these to their block list, but this is being proactive on the brand side that you just subscribe to this, because even for $9,000 a year, you can register 10 or block the registration of tens of thousands of domains. It might be worth it for them if there's a perceived, you know, brand reputation problem.
Well, it brings to the question about money.
I love when you have to bring this back to the topic.
Like, when I think about registering domains, I think about you register certain domains and, like, they cost way more money than other domains. And so when I saw this originally, I was like, oh, well, $6,000, like, for however 600 domains or whatever, if I multiply that by, like, say those domains are $100 because they're, like, highly sought after, that's potentially a lot of money that the domain registering companies like a GoDaddy or whatever are potentially losing out on. And, like, right before we got on this, I got a message talking about my domain expiring soon. And they're going to auto-renew it in, like, 14 days. And I'm like, and it's only $20. So it's not like it's a lot of money. But if I have, like...
It used to be $7.99, though.
Yeah, well, that's, you
I think
know,
that's what I used to buy domains for.
Yeah. Well, again, something I missed out on, right? Like, I could have bought Nike.com back in the day. No, so... but I see that where, like, I'll go to, like, look at a cool domain. And I'm like, yeah, nobody has this. And it's like... $400 a year. And I'm like, well, if there's like 600 of those, that's a lot more than $6,000 worth of, like, potential revenue.
I think the thought process probably on the domain registrar side is it's not lost revenue for them. It's a legal headache, because if somebody registers those Zscaler.sucks, like, that's got to be a legal battle, because Zscaler is going to lodge a complaint and they're going to take it down, and I don't know if that will refund them or whatever, but that's a legal cost to them, that they know that this is, you know, trademark infringement, and they're going to have to take it down anyway.
I'll tell that to the guy that owns Nissan.com, or at least I think he still owns it, right?
I think you're right, yeah, because I think the vehicle site is NissanUSA.com.
Yep.
And the guy won't sell Nissan.com.
I like when we were talking about the pricing of domains, and, like, Chris instantly perked up, like, you guys are still paying $7.99? Like, let me tell you about the thing I found, Mr. El Cheapo. So how much do you pay for your domains, Chris?
The .coms are 10 bucks a year, I'm pretty sure. Some of the vanity domains, like the .sucks, I think is like 500 a year or something. But I mean, I don't own any of those, but... My .com and .orgs, I think, are between $7.99 and $9.99 a year.
Why am I paying $20 a year? Less... What is going on?
Yeah, you got to transfer that. Transfer it over.
Anything less
than... I'll send you the name of my company that I use.
Is low rent. I think that's just a subpar domain. You shouldn't even waste your money on it.
Yeah.
I'm not even registering anything cool. Like, it's literally just thesecuritypanda.org. Like, and it was $20.
That's cool. What are you talking about, man?
A year. So,
you know, what confuses me, though, is like for us to tell whether or not you're going through Zscaler or not, you type ip.zscaler.com and we own that. But somebody registered ipzscaler.com and it comes up as a phishing page. And that's been around for years. I don't know why we've never taken that down.
How dare they? Meanwhile, the CEO of Pan is just like, gotcha, guys.
He's like, got him.
I've actually never seen it, because every time I go try to go to the site, I get the phishing block page. So I'm actually curious to see what what's actually on there and if it looks like a phishing page or if it's just like a blank page and we just classify it as phishing.
Or it's just a bunch of FUD. Like, it's a bunch of Zscaler FUD. And they're like, look, we're not letting anybody who's a customer go onto the site. Like, it's automatically phishing. Like, it's not,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
It's like cute cat videos and just, like, Zscaler FUD everywhere.
Yeah. All right. For our last topic, and it'll be a rotating topic every week. This week, we're going to talk about what's gotten so expensive that you no longer purchase it. And I should actually qualify that. So maybe you don't no longer purchase it, but you purchase it way less, or you're just annoyed at how expensive these things have gotten. And I would say everything. So first of all, everything is just so dang expensive these days. But I wrote a couple down here in particular, and I just want to call out one. So I'll go first. Fast food. So fast food is no longer what you would consider, you know, affordable. Like, there's no value menu. There's no, definitely no dollar menu anymore. There were two famous social media posts. So one is the $18 Big Mac meal that went viral on TikTok or Instagram or one of those things. And the McDonald's CEO actually had to explain why this thing was $18 on one of their conference calls to gain that much traction. Earlier this week, there's a post about a guy going to Five Guys. A burger, fries, and a drink was $24. So a burger, a fries, and a drink at a fast food restaurant, Five Guys, $24. And then just this week, I haven't been to a Subway in years, but I was driving by one. I'm like, I'll pop in. I'll get some sandwiches for us. $15 for a footlong. So $15 for a footlong sandwich at Subway. Like, what happened to the $5 footlong days?
Well, I remember Wendy's just recently said, they're going to trial surge pricing
Well,
like supply and demand. Like, look, if we got a lot of people coming in for Baconators, we're just going to jack the price up. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, there is no reason that those should be that expensive to begin with. I think McDonald's, too, to your point, Chris, mentioned that they, like, on their earnings call, they said, we are now no longer targeting like a certain like income range demographic. We're only targeting like, I think it's like $55,000 median income households. And I'm like, I don't understand. Like, that's your whole like business though, is give me a really cheap cheeseburger that anybody can afford and buy to get volume up.
Yeah. Like the McDonald's are like trying to go high class. They have like a steak and egg sandwich for breakfast now at McDonald's, and they have like all these premium chicken sandwiches. Like, I just want my $1.69 McChicken. Like, I don't need like all this fancy buns and everything.
The first thing I thought about was, actually, you have more stuff to talk about. I'll let you go.
No, I just wanted to do one. You guys okay. Go next.
Yeah, the first one that came to mind when I thought about this was Five Guys. I remember going in there. I was like, oh my God, I just bought a homeless person a meal for $20. I was like, oh, Jesus. And that's a real thing. Like, I remember doing that. Or I think it was like 23 or something like that. I was like, geez, that's a lot. But I mean, outside of like the normal stuff like milk, eggs, and bread, right? All this stuff is super expensive.
All
nowadays.
The essentials.
Like,
yep.
Yeah, like three times what it used to cost just, you know, 4 years ago. Anytime there's like a line anywhere, like in person or somebody might post it like on Nextdoor, my thing that I would always write or I would always say is, you know, like, hey, why is there a line, you know, wrapped around the block? And like, and let's say it was for like the Renaissance Fair, I'm like, oh, it's a Arby's 5 for $5 sale. And,
yeah,
it's like for every single answer. And then the other day I drove by an Arby's and it said 2 for $7. I say, Jesus, this sucks. What happened to the 5 for $5?
How far we've come. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that not that I'm a huge fast food guy, not a McDonald's dude. I don't like Subway, Burger King, things like that. I do like Chipotle, but we went there yesterday with 6 people and it was surprising. I was expecting it to be really expensive just because it's Chipotle, but it's about $65. Wasn't it 66 or something like that? Wasn't too bad. I'm all hyping them up. I don't even know if they're a customer, but no, I'll leave it at that. Dude, so it's Chipotle. Also, on the ice machine, you go there, it says you have a 3-year career progression to $100,000 a year at Chipotle. That is incredible.
Walmart is similar too with their managers. Like their managers, if you're a Walmart manager, store manager, you make like 125K. And I'm just thinking about like the poor associate who's making like minimum wage. And then it's like, in 3 years though, I may be a store manager. And just like that culture shock of going from like 750 or whatever minimum wage is now. I know it was 750 when I was working minimum wage jobs. And now you're making 125,000. Like that's crazy to me.
Did you
It's
see
almost
the
20. If you work at a McDonald's here, it's $20 in California now.
well that so behind that story, did you see it? So fast food, right, is $20 an hour minimum wage salary, unless the restaurant that you work at makes fresh bread. And so
Unless the restaurant you work at is owned by a major donor to our governor. Yes,
Yeah,
Brian.
weird.
Yes.
Yeah,
They carved
exactly.
out a loophole for that.
Yeah, so that major donor is a Panera restaurant owner, and so now he doesn't have to pay his people $20. That's just wild. I'm like, you can't, like, if you're donating millions of dollars to that governor, I can't assume that jacking that minimum wage from whatever it is to 20 is actually going to affect that million that you're giving away, giving out year over year. I could be wrong.
Never know. I mean, he's like the largest Panera franchise owner here in California times however many employees they employ times the $5 an hour times 40 hours a week. I mean, it starts to add up. Probably
Again,
worth
this
the
is why
investment.
CSAs are good with math.
Yeah, right. I think just everything has gotten expensive, right? Like my wife does all the Walmart runs. She's a stay-at-home mom, and she has kind of a side business that she does for like stitching children's clothing. Like she hand makes all of our daughter's clothing pretty much, and then sells it at craft fairs and what have you. But I always let her go to Walmart because I just can't deal with like the pressure and making sure I get exactly what we need and everything else. And I went in one day to get like deodorant before a trip. I remember being young and like deodorant was like $2 or $3, like a stick. And for whatever reason, deodorant is like $10 now for like the brand that I was buying. And I was like, what happened? And she's like, this is why I
They
told you it
put
always cost me so
gold
much money.
flakes in this?
Yeah. I'm like, well, this is ridiculous. That and like Amazon Prime too, when they got rid of 2-day shipping, but still charge me an
Yeah.
exorbitant amount of money every year. I'm like, no, guys, like, listen, we can't be doing this. Give me some value. Don't tell me Prime TV is worth it. I want 2-day shipping on everything. Bring it
Yeah,
back.
and so I put that here. Prime gets diluted every year. It does not include Amazon Fresh, it does not include Amazon Music. All those are add-ons. And now it includes ads in the Prime streaming too. You have to pay more to get rid of the ads. So that's losing its value every year too.
Drives me nuts. I'm waiting for us all to go back to cable at this point. Like now that I'm looking, like Hulu, Peacock, all of them with the ads in it, and then Netflix introducing their ad tier. Like, when are we just gonna go back to cable TV at this point?
Cable.
Yeah.
Yeah, a friend of the show was messaging that he's like, I didn't realize my Netflix subscription is $30 a month now. So I think he has like HD and the ability to download or some kind of package, but he's like, Netflix is $30 a month. Like I remember when this thing was $9.99 or $7.99, you'd stream all you want, and then now it's just $30 a month.
Well, they
So my
trick us,
mom.
right? They're just like, your price is going up. Like, send you an email, your price is going up. You're like, oh, okay, it can't be that big. And you just don't check the email. But if you log in, you're going to have sticker shock.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
so my mom used to mooch off of my Netflix, my mom and my dad, for whatever reason. I don't know why. They are far more well off than I am. And they're like, can we just like use your Netflix? I'm like, sure, guys, like whatever. And then when they started jacking up the prices and they're like, yeah, if you have somebody outside your home, it's gonna cost even more. I was like, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. I changed the password. You gotta have to get your own
Gotta cut you
subscription.
off.
Like, or I'm gonna need a check in the mail every month. Like, I just can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
You don't love your parents. That's all
Yeah,
it is.
apparently not. I felt so bad. I'm like, look, I know you wanted to watch Bridgerton, but like, it's over.
The other thing I have here, food trucks. I remember not that long ago, you go to a food truck and get those two tacos for $6 or something, and now it's just ridiculous. Like a plate of three tacos is almost $20. Like it used to be fast, can I guess it's in the similar vein as fast food, but that's gotten out of hand. And I'm talking about like the Roach Coach kind. I'm talking about even like these gourmet food trucks. It's like you're spending at least $20. Everything's a la carte. You don't even get a side, and then it's just like average food.
Yeah, it's a
I mean,
problem.
It's a problem. I mean, but it's the cost of goods though, right? Like they can't be working for less than minimum wage. They have to make their nut one way or the other.
So I counter that though, because I have a friend, and like this is weird because like I have a friend for everything, right? But I have a friend who owns a restaurant in Portland who used to be a food truck, and his wife and him started a food truck, then moved over to doing a brick and mortar. So now they run a very like established Japanese street food restaurant. And I was talking to her about how I got uni one day at a random like restaurant in town. And I was like, it was like $40 for uni. Like, is that how much it costs? She's like, no, that's like 400% on margin for that particular like restaurant you went to. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, they're all telling me that goods are going up. She's like, they went up not that much though. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, good. I'm like, I'm just gonna have you come with me now, like wherever I go, and let me know, like, is this too much or not?
You know where you can go in Arizona? It's a place called AZ Pho. And I think it's like you can get the beef pho for like $12.99, and it is an insane amount of food. I mean, it is this hot ring water poured over fish nightmares, but it is delicious.
Prepared by a former child soldier.
Yeah.
All right, well, we continue to get great comments about our dad joke of the week.
Dad joke of the week.
This week, our guest Steven is up.
Oh man, I love it. I tell one every time before I do a presentation in person. So this one I came across recently that I love. My wife asked me the other day where I got so much candy. I said, I always have a few Twix up my sleeve.
I love it. Twix is that's actually a good candy. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna go for one right about now.
Are you left Twix or right Twix though?
What does that even mean? There's a cookie dough
Remember
Twix. That's pretty good.
there's that whole ad campaign a couple of years ago that like this bag contains only the left Twix and this bag contains only the right Twix.
Again, Chris is a sucker for marketing.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's the exact same Twix, but it's only the left version. Like we pulled all of the left ones off the line, guys, and that's all we use. I thought there was an actual difference though. Wasn't like one like dipped in the chocolate and the other one is like poured on or something? I remember that marketing campaign. I can't remember like what they
Yeah,
said
I don't think so. I think that was just purely they just made two different wrappers and then tried to drum up sales that way by saying you're team left or team right.
either. Did you buy some?
I did not. I'm not a sucker for marketing
I was gonna
as
say
much
because I
as
was gonna say
Brian would
that
like to believe.
I was gonna say they need one, right? They won what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
You say that, but you bought a unlimited pass for your car wash the other day.
I did, and I got my money's worth out of it too, Brian.
That's
I
what you
always have a
think.
clean car too.
For once in your
Something to
life.
be said about driving around in a clean car, because prior to that, I would go months without washing it. Like I like to wash it myself, I just don't have the time to. But this one, I definitely got my money's worth on it.
Back when my, so I always say don't let the kids eat in the car. Just because it was always gross, and I'm ultimately the one kind of responsible for the cleanup of it. But back in the day when we started introducing food in the car, I would always find McDonald's French fries underneath the driver's seat. So I know it was my wife.
right, to wrap things up. There is no honor among thieves, especially with the Alf V Black Cat crew. The missing FTX money has finally been accounted for. Typo squatting is a service now. And inflation sucks. That's all we have for this week. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. You can find us all on LinkedIn. Links will be in the description. Follow us on Instagram at PepCac Podcast. Thank you to all our listeners and subscribers who rate us 5 stars on the iTunes Store and Spotify and left us a review. We appreciate you all spreading the word to help grow the show. The best way to find us is to search for the PepCac Podcast in your favorite podcast listening app. My co-host, Brian Deitch, and our guest, Stephen Hajny. I'm Chris Louie. Thanks for listening. We'll see you all next week. And as always, have a nice day.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye.
Have a nice day.